Welcome to Rethink, the podcast focused on the future of skilled nursing. I'm Amy Stulick, reporter with Skilled Nursing News. I'm joined for this episode by Dr. Robert Russell, Chief Medical Officer for Indiana-based operator Majestic Care. Russell touched on survey changes set to take effect April 28th, shared his thoughts on the legal decision concerning the federal staffing mandate, and shared why he thinks embracing technology is key to meeting an evolving clinical landscape. Majestic operates 42 properties across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, and 10 for its Bluegrass Consulting Group in Kentucky. Before we get to that conversation, I'd like to highlight an upcoming event this summer. Skilled Nursing News 2025 Rethink Conference will take place from August 18th to the 20th in Chicago. Rethink brings executives together for content and networking that addresses trends, challenges, and the future of the nursing home industry, along with M&A outlook, regulatory and reimbursement changes, as well as staffing opportunities. Visit skillednursingnews.com/events to find out more. And now, my conversation with Dr. Robert Russell. Okay, well, thank you so much, Robert, for joining us today. I figured we would start out with some Majestic-specific questions for you. Just curious if there's any exciting clinical programs that Majestic is pursuing, or, you know, if there are existing programs that maybe are really taking off for you guys right now.
Thank you for the question. What Majestic is doing is we're really trying to focus on what our mission is, and that is through the heart of our care team members. We provide excellent health care to those we serve. And with that being said, we are really doing a lot in the area of quality improvement. So one process that has really worked well for us is really having weekly QM calls with our buildings, going over what the state QM issues are, and really honing in on what some of the local leadership can do to improve their quality. Because that's what we really want to do. We want to provide quality and excellence to the patients and residents that we take care of. Another thing that we've done is we do have an ISNP program that is working very well for us in the state of Indiana. And it is showing. And one of the calls that we just had recently, actually one of the meetings we had recently just yesterday, one of the leadership of one of the buildings said they had seen a drastic improvement in their quality of communication and return to hospital based on our ISNP program. So these two initiatives really honing in on how do you improve quality? How do you measure quality, even based on what the state measurements of quality are and the federal measurements of quality are? But what's your level of quality? And really getting to defining what you want to provide in the sense of quality and excellence for the residents and patients has become a driving force for us.
And then in terms of expansion, how do you hope to expand Majestic moving forward in a clinical sense, of course, but you know, if there are any new service lines or ancillaries that you want to add?
Well, I think we look at all opportunities. Some of those things are internal things that, you know, unfortunately we can't talk about, but we always want to look at how we can provide better services. And I think all long-term care providers look at it from this sense. Either is there someone we can partner with that does it well, or can we provide the service better than what our partners can provide it? And so that's never off the table for us. I mean, we look at making sure that if we're entering into a partnership, that that partnership is a bi-directional partnership. But also, if we need to divest ourselves from that partnership, what will we do to improve going forward? So the long and short of that is nothing's really off the table in the world of where you want to provide excellence and quality. So that means there may be things down the line that we are doing with others that we may be doing for ourselves. But right now, we really are trying to make sure that the partnerships that we have are meeting our expectations and that they're meeting that level of excellence and quality that we want to have for our residents and our patients.
Absolutely. And anything else exciting happening at Majestic that you want to mention before we dive into some other topics?
Well, I think the excitement is really getting this culture changed. A culture of, in the sense of not just wanting to play to the standard, but wanting to become the standard, wanting to actually show innovation and improvement in long-term care in a way that has never been done before, and really trying to be very innovative, trying to be forward-thinking, and also trying to look for opportunities to really show our necessity to the ecosystem of healthcare in general. And I think long-term care has really lacked that narrative of saying how important we are to the healthcare ecosystem. We are the safety net for a lot of the communities that we're in. And being a steward and a partner with our healthcare systems, but we're also a very much a pillar of those communities. So what's really exciting is us really expanding that message and actually seeing how our healthcare partners are really embracing that message that, you know, we're very important to the healthcare ecosystem, and we want to continue to show that importance.
Mm-hmm. And so a couple topical questions for you next. You know, it's still fresh on everyone's mind. any commentary on the outcome for the federal staffing mandate? You know, some legal experts we spoke to in the industry, they don't see the fight being over just yet, with appeals expected to be filed.
Right. And I, yes, this is such an apropos topic, and it's very much just hot off the presses, right? So I think what we should not think is this should be a victory for not wanting to provide quality and excellent care. I think it should be more of us, we should have a say in how we are measured and how we can provide that. Now, also, with the narrative going forward, some of the things that we are asked to do or even imposed on us to do, we need help with. And just unfortunately, having a blanket mandate when there's no financial kind of blueprint to how we achieve those goals is challenging for any business, let alone a business that has already historically struggled with staffing issues. So I think this is where we can come to the table and provide what this looks like and how we can maybe help in the creation of something that is acceptable, but also with the caveat that there should be some assistance, some inducement, something that helps us get there to actually get people to come into the workforce, stay into the workforce, and provide the care needs that these residents and patients need. And I think that's where it's probably still headed. And then the other part of it is states still may say that they have their requirements, particularly as it comes to how they're providing their quality reimbursements. So we don't want to think that this is a something that we may not be challenged with, but really, hopefully, it gives us the ability to find out where there's compromise and where there's collaboration, so we can all reach our desired goals of better quality and better care for this population of patients.
So let's discuss a little bit more the latest coming out of the Trump administration. There's been a possible $880 billion cut to Medicaid through the congressional budget proposal, for one, and then agency staff cuts across HHS. How do you think that this will affect clinical operations and outcomes for nursing homes?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And that's one also where it's too be seen what's going to happen. However, if you were looking into the future, it's going to really hurt a very vulnerable population. And particularly, like I said earlier, in some of these more rural communities, communities that are burdened with an overwhelming population of people on Medicaid, and also with a limited amount of resources in those areas, they're going to be very challenged to provide care and also to provide the necessary staff to provide the adequate amount of care that the residents and the patients need. So I think that's where there's still room for advocacy, still room for continued engagement and conversation around this, that we don't want to put other patients or communities at a whole at risk due to what the federal government is proposing. And with that, we still want to be able to provide a high level of quality and a high level of excellence for the residents and patients that we are taking care of. So we want, like I said, to be at that table so we can continue to have these conversations on how impactful those type of cuts have, particularly to communities that are already very challenged when it comes to their resources.
Absolutely. And then any other general commentary you would want to make on what CMS and HHS under Dr. Oz and RFK Jr., of course, you know, what these new agencies have in store for post-acute care?
Well, I think we are hopefully optimistic, right? And hopefully with the appointment of Dr. Oz and he can meet with Robert Kennedy Jr. and they can have some salient discussions on what is beneficial to the long-term care community and to the community that we also serve. I think, unfortunately, we still have this outdated concept that long-term care is just an elderly population or a population of people over 65, but we take care of a lot of the indigent population. We take care of people with a lot of mental health issues. And that's where we can have a redefining of what the whole scope of what long-term care does for a community and for the health ecosystem, to where there's a more understanding of how important we are. And then we can have more robust conversations on how we're helping in a way that sometimes people have no other recourse but to come to our doors. And I hope we can have some more prudent conversations about that. It's not just about taking care of older individuals. It's also about taking care of some people who have nowhere else to go and have nowhere else to turn. And we are a lot of times the only places that they have. So we want to make sure that those conversations can be with an open mind on what and who we actually serve.
Absolutely. So let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about the survey changes that were pushed out to April 28th for implementation with guidance on a variety of areas, including admission agreements and medication management, as well as infection control and health equity considerations. How has Majestic been preparing for these changes?
Oh, that's another great question. Actually, we have been on the pulse of this since the memo went out in November, and this, the initial changes were slated for Q1 of this year, that we've been really educating ourselves and educating our staff, including educating our provider groups to these changes and what the expectations are for not only us as a long-term care provider, but also the providers that are in our buildings, what their expectations are based on what these survey changes that are slated to happen have already laid out for us. With that is also showing them where we are seeing some changes and even what our surveyors are looking for in preparation for this, and having really granular conversations about why they may be asking for certain things, why they're looking at certain things, and what this means as April 28th quickly approaches us, and they're getting ready for their new surveying roles and how they may be adjudicating these things for our facilities going forward. So we've been doing this really on a very routine basis, and even making sure that leadership at all levels of our company are well aware of what these changes mean and how we can not only prepare for them in a way that we are not disrupted in what our day-to-day operations are, or even how we present ourselves to surveyors, but also that we are making sure that there's no disruption of care or the quality of care that we're providing.
And then quick acuity question for you as well. At Majestic, I'm curious what the practical and operational changes have been, that rising acuity is really propelling forward.
Oh, wow. Are you mean acuity of our patient population? Is that what you're stating? Okay. Yeah. So we've actually looked at it from the standpoint of really honing in to some of it to a local phenomenon. What are the acuity issues in a local market? Then what are the acuity issues in a state or regional market as well? And making sure that we are educating our clinical teams on what we're seeing and how we can be a support of them as they're trying to take care of these challenging patients. These are conversations that, like I said, we have on a weekly basis with our leadership at our buildings based on what they are being presented with. And what we've done is really try to provide them with a high level of support that starts from the top down and not from the down up. We listen to their concerns, but they know that they have the support of their leadership from the C-suite all the way down on trying to mitigate a lot of the challenges that they have. Now, that means that we have to constantly be in communication with our workforce, with our care team members, so we can make sure that they feel supported also as well.
Right. And some staffing questions for you next, I think. Are there any staffing initiatives at Majestic that you're really excited about and you folks want to dive into? And then also, any tips for sourcing and nurturing clinical talent?
That's another great question. And actually, we have revamped our kind of customer service and our employee retention strategies in our department. We've unveiled a Hearts of Excellence programming where we're actually really honing in to what the pain points of our staff are. We're surveying our staff for the first time and eliciting their feedback. We're bringing them in not only just corporately, but regionally to address their staffing and their workforce concerns. And we're having those conversations with them bidirectionally. We want their feedback. We want to know how we can make things better for them. And we're really working on our retention initiatives. We're moving away from the cookie cutter approach of what everybody else does in the industry. We really want to make sure that we are going to build a corporate culture where people want to work here and people want to be a part of this organization. And people are proud to be members of the Majestic team. And that takes a lot of listening. We have our first ever town hall that our CEO, Paul Pruitt, will be doing in the next upcoming days, where it's an open forum from everyone to come and talk to the CEO. And that's another way of us showing that we want to hear what the concerns are and we want to be able to address them. And those are important things that we are continuing to do, to the point where there is not really a time when our staff cannot reach out to someone in leadership to ask questions, pose questions, and get those questions answered. And that's really one of the things we're most proud of, our accessibility and our ability to make ourselves available to listen. But for it to be an effective tool, we have to be active listeners. We can't just listen not to do something. And that's what part of our whole, our core values are listen, empathy, accountability, and decisiveness. So it starts with the listening. Then we can show our empathy. Then we can hold ourselves accountable. And then we can make decisive decisions on where we can improve things for our care team members.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. I haven't heard of operators facilitating town halls before. This is the first I've heard. Exciting.
I know. That's pretty exciting, right? I mean, because normally it's a newsletter. Normally it's, okay, you get words from the CEO. Normally it's not as open-ended to where it, like I said, there's the ability for bi-directionality for people to really make their issues, put their issues on the table for us to also work through and talk through with them. And I must say, we have a tremendous leadership that always make themselves available. He has done the same for me with our medical directors. I hold a monthly medical directors meeting, and he has made himself available for that medical directors meeting twice now to talk to the medical directors. So they don't feel like they're just providers in our building. They feel like they're a part of our team. They're hearing our initiatives from not only me, the CMO, but also from the CEO. And that makes it more salient that they're a part of us, no matter if they work for other health systems. When they're in our doors, they're part of our team as well.
Absolutely. That's great to hear. So follow up to that, we have heard in the last year or so that there is a shortage of MDS coordinators, among other clinical roles like administrators, critical to nursing homes. Have you seen this situation evolve at all, or any other comments on critical roles?
Yes, and that speaks to one of the points that I spoke on earlier, that the challenges of what we face in the long-term care industry as a whole is also finding people who are qualified and dedicated and can do the jobs that we need to have done for the success of our local communities. So we have recognized that, and we're putting some initiatives together to truly strengthen that. And that also gets back to the retention piece as well. As you train people, as you onboard people, you also want to be able to retain people. And that's something that we're looking at as we get good qualified candidates and get them onboarded. We really want to make sure that we're also continuing to check in, continuing to support, so they can feel supported enough that they know that this is a place that they want to continue to work. And I think that's really the challenge of the industry. There's been a revolving door for many years. And I think before COVID, there was very much an attitude of someone will fill the role. Post-COVID, when we've seen a lot of people retire, we've seen the industry change a lot post-COVID, that we also have to be nimble and innovative and creative enough to understand that we have to change as well. And that means also making sure that we are really honing into retention as a strategy and as a policy to help your organization move forward.
Absolutely. And another trend we've written about is how nursing homes are revamping their clinical teams to be more interdisciplinary and span across multiple care settings. This is given the increasing importance with admission and discharge processes, with survey changes, just to name one aspect. Is Majestic following suit with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we are. We are making sure that we are looking at our admissions processes. We're looking at our clinical morning meeting processes, and actually we'll be rolling out a new revamped clinical morning meeting here soon. we're looking at how we're engaging our providers in discharging, in discharge planning. We've going back to the old adage that admission is the start, but at admission also starts the discharge. So we're starting to really look at how we can be effective in planning for discharging instead of having discharge happen. And it also means on how we're engaging with our community partners to make sure it's a successful transition if it's back into the community or to another setting. So these are things that we are absolutely are looking at and revamping and can constantly improving. But with that is the engagement of, I think what we are doing well is making and bringing it to our attention of our, not only our clinical leaders of the building, but our ancillary clinical services, our psych providers, our primary care providers, our medical directors. They're just as much of a part of this process, and they should be a part of this process continually throughout. And also focusing on the patients or the resident support system, their family, their caregivers, and making sure that we're taking their concerns into consideration when we are transitioning them back to where they may be going. So yes, that is definitely something that Majestic has made a point of paying close attention to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the story that I was thinking of was, specifically about therapy services and how that kind of fits in with interdisciplinary teams. So it's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we have our first ever VP of therapy, Claire Coleman. And she is a tremendous asset to us in actually managing our therapy relations, making sure that they're meeting our expectations, and also are part of all of these initiatives and processes that we are formulating clinically. And so to your point, you're right. It takes a total interdisciplinary approach to have successful transitions of care. And that does include our therapy department in their role in the process as well.
Absolutely. Okay, so I have a couple more questions, more forward-looking, big picture for you, Robert. So what do you think the skilled nursing clinical landscape will look like 5 years from now, and how can operators adapt now to remain relevant?
That's a great question. It was funny. I was asked that question not too long ago, so it's still on the top of my mind. I think what operators can do to prepare for the ever evolving clinical landscape is really learn how to embrace technology and the innovations that this long-term care space is now being inundated with. This is the first time in a long time that we are now in the forefront of innovation and not in the back seat. I actually had a chance to be at the PCC Summit recently, and the technologies that are being proposed and adapted are just things that in long-term care we're not used to having access to nor using. However, I think if we're going to continue to show our viability in the health system ecosystem, it will be through technology. We will be able to embrace technology, use it effectively, and learn how to continue to advance technology in the long-term care space. So with that being said, I think the next 5 years are pivotal for us on a couple of fronts. The one front is actually what I said earlier, proving what we truly mean to the healthcare ecosystem. I think we have a chance in the next 5 years to really show the quality that we provide and how complex and how varied our patient population truly is. And with that, how we're a safety net for a lot of people and a lot of communities because of what all we offer. So I think that's the first thing. And I think the second thing that we look for in the next 5 years is what I just said, how we will be more integrated with our technology offerings to not only show that quality, to not only be able to capture the data of how complex our patients are, and yet the level of quality that we provide for them, despite their complexity, and to be able to mitigate some of our pain points for some of the day-to-day things that technology will be able to help us with: scheduling, staffing, using machine learning AI to improve our documentation and our communication with our other healthcare partners. I think those are things that we can definitely look for in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And so, Robert, since this is the Rethink podcast, how do you think we should rethink the skilled nursing sector as we move ahead?
Oh, that's a great question. I think we need to rethink the long-term care sector in the aspect or in the way of saying we can be just as innovative, we can just be just as creative, and we do have to change. I think that's where we need to rethink. I think relying on what we did in the past to propel us forward is not the right way to think about it. I think we need to start looking at who we truly want to be, who we are truly serving now, and what it's going to really take for us to continue to do that. So I think rethinking the possibilities is what I think we should be doing right now.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Robert, that was all of the questions that I had for you. So thank you so much for your insight and for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That does it for this episode of Rethink. I'd like to remind listeners about our upcoming Rethink conference from August 18th to the 20th in Chicago. Visit skillednursingnews.com/events to learn more and get tickets. Until next time, thanks for listening.